This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder. We've been in Europe at length. Now we're in Washington, D.C. The mixed picture of Washington, D.C., Professor, in addition to the hesitation of the Republican Party, which is built in to the ideology of the Republican Party since the Civil War, what's in it for us? Very practical question when it comes to liberty. What's in it for us is now being asked about Ukraine by the Republican Party, elements of the Republican Party, voices that gain attention in the news, such as Governor DeSantis of Florida, such as the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. Not definitive, we're against, not definitive, we're for, somewhere in between. I mention that because the White House, the Biden administration, has been understood as completely in support of Ukraine's battle for its existence, pouring weapons and money into Ukraine. And now the banking crisis, hitting Washington very hard, hitting the confidence in the administration very hard. The failure of two smaller banks, 16th largest bank and a bank in New York, has led to claims that the banking system needs to be bolstered. The Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, has made contradictory remarks during the week about whether or not depositors are insured, limitlessly insured. There's also a question about the Federal Reserve being able to both fight inflation to its 2% target and not drive or push or permit or watch the economy plunge into what is called a hard landing, which is a hard recession. It is time for the president to announce his reelection plans. All of this goes together into a hesitation about the war in Europe. The Republicans say, what's in it for us? The Democrats say, we're busy holding the banks together. So, Washington's point of view, Professor.
Well, this, I think one cannot say what Washington's point of view is. Certainly the administration is very, very hard to read, because what they're involved in, would most people would say, is a war. But they don't treat it as a war in the sense that they're not really thinking about strategy, and they don't have a plan to terminate it, let alone to win it. And they are not making the case for the war to the American people in the way that, say, a Roosevelt or an Eisenhower or even a John Kennedy would have. They're adopting more of the Lyndon Baines Johnson approach to Vietnam, which was to keep sort of doing the same thing and sending stuff, but never sitting down and working it out from beginning to end. The most basic problem is that this is a real war, and that means it's going to be concluded by some kind of battle, which leaves either one side or the other as the victor, as Clausewitz is fond of pointing out, that the Schlacht, the slaughter, the battle, that is the crucial incident in the war. And I don't think people in Washington are very comfortable thinking about that. They prefer to think economically, but this is not a price war. This is not a struggle for market dominance. This is not Coca-Cola versus Pepsi or something. This is a real war based on coercion and killing people and breaking things. Well, what worries me the most, I have to say, is that as I see it, this, as I just said, this war is going to sketch in the map of the future security situation in Eurasia. And therefore, all of our politicians and leaders, and they should be paying very, very close attention to this, very, very close attention, and working through all the various possible outcomes and what could go wrong and what we should do. But that simply is not going on. There's really nobody in the government who that I can think of who thinks about the war in a military terms. I think that the Secretary of Defense, Austin, he's the only one I can understand. And he's certainly, I mean, he's not Douglas MacArthur, but he at least understands something about how you win a war and what has to be done. And he speaks in language, human speech. I think that it's fascinating to look at the budget struggle. The Democrats are what appear to be the war party, and yet they are proposing a budget in which they're cutting the defense budget, even as they talk about, or people in Washington talk about, the fact that this war is getting bigger, that China poses a major threat, and so forth. But they're not really doing what they should do to resolve this. On the financial policy, I think the Federal Reserve is doing the right thing, raising interest rates. Inflation is a disaster, and the attempts by the Congress to get control of the Federal Reserve simply means they want to be licensed to print more money. But if you want to see where the inflation is coming from, look at the last couple of budgets and look at the amount of debt. 15% of the American budget is now payment of interest on debt. Now, that's much too high to be comfortable, although plenty of countries are higher than that. So I'm very, very puzzled that although the administration is willing to pour money and American equipment and so forth into this war, they're unwilling to gear the economy up to produce enough weapons for us to be the kind of power that we're going to have to be if, say, Russia and China both begin falling apart or fighting or something at the same time. We're much more focused on the sort of social experiment sandbox aspect of the war, and this has got nothing to do with lethality. The only thing that militaries are good for is killing people and breaking things, and in order to defend the country. We shouldn't do that in an aggressive way. But as one of my colleagues says, who's in the military, he says, we're losing on lethality. Our recruitment is down, and it's not surprising at all. And another thing that's very worrying is that that even our generals, think of General Milley, who I think was he's a sound soldier, but then he got a whiff of politics, which is fatal for soldiers. And he's now talking about what a danger China is. But under the last administration, he was so sure that the crazed Trump was going to launch a war against China that he actually got on the phone secretly to talk to the Chinese generals. And the amount of damage to diplomacy that he did is, I know a certain amount about it, is just terrible. So I suppose that the problem with Washington is that it has not yet really agreed what it's doing, and the decision about what we are going to do or what we are doing is becoming increasingly a political decision and not one that's based either on national interests properly defined or on values or on the whole strategic structure of the world. So it's a rather discouraging picture in Washington.
We're sending a lot of money, and we're sending a lot of military equipment, much more all the time, to Kyiv. And it's been said over the last year that the Biden administration neither wants to win nor wants to lose, somewhere in between. However, the most recent burst of activity includes weapon systems that are consistent with taking the offense, riverine boats, bridging material, long-range missile strikes, something that would be consistent with an offensive into Crimea. Is that imaginable, Professor, that Washington is distracted and mixed as it now is, could launch an offensive, could support Kyiv in an offensive war, which would be high risk?
Well, I think it's a higher risk not to win. And one side or the other has to win. This is not going to be some kind of a kind of a woke game where they add up the number of points that each side gets and they're all kind of happy together. This is going to be like a Wimbledon final or something. One player exhausts himself or herself and wins, and the other exhausts himself and loses. And it's absolutely unambiguous. And we have to realize that we're in a situation where it is in our interest that the Ukrainians win. And it would have been and it's not just our interest, it's in the interest of world peace and stability in Eurasia. Because if Mr. Putin shows that he can defeat the best efforts of the United States and NATO, and now Japan and whatnot, all joining in, that is an absolutely ghastly precedent. And we absolutely do not want to reinforce and reward an aggressor.
Opinion is that Washington wants to win because it's not talking consistently in that direction.
Well, my opinion is that Washington doesn't have a clear idea of what it's doing, although there was a report a couple of weeks ago saying that our goal said that our administration has decided the only way to terminate the war was to for the Ukrainians to win it. And I think they've understood that if we just do what we've been doing, which is keeping the two sides roughly even so that they can just kill a lot of people, that's really criminal and irresponsible. And it also doesn't lead to any kind of an acceptable outcome for us. But this thinking should have been going on more than 12 months ago. And when you consider that we discovered this threat, we discovered the Russian plan to invade Ukraine, and then it said that after Biden and Putin met, that Putin really, sort of like Khrushchev and Kennedy, that Putin was most underimpressed by Biden, even more than he had expected, and that led him to miscalculate the United States, as people regularly do. But I think that, the thing we should have done is last year they should have had all the weapons they needed to just deliver a major battlefield defeat to the Russians in Ukraine. This could have been done in Donbass if we let them have the kind of missiles they needed to take out the Russian artillery. And people talk about these we're giving them long-range missiles. Missile with 190 miles range, that's not long range in my book. And if they had done that, the whole slaughter at Bakhmut could have been avoided, because the Ukrainians would have taken out the Russian artillery, and that would have been a good thing. But the logic of warfare, this administration is learning the logic of warfare, if they're learning it at all, in the school of hard knocks. I mean, they're not at the Kriegsakademie in Berlin.
Let's go to Beijing. Let's touch up with China, where we started. Xi in Moscow with Putin. Now Xi is back in Beijing and making peace gestures. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.